Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
According to Dan Graziano of ESPN, Caldwell has said no to the Raiders and the Vikings' request for an interview.
Really?
He's only interviewing with the Bears, Jim Caldwell. What does that tell you?
If he's turning down those two jobs, either he doesn't want to return to coaching to the extent that we thought, or he's gotten a good sign from the Bears that he is a finalist, which I think, based on Peter King's report, that Jim Caldwell was impressive during his interview and they like him because of the Bill Polian factor, you would start to think that he is going to be a finalist. So right there, Mully, let's connect more dots. We talked to Brad Biggs, who kind of set the stage for our conversation today back in the 7 o'clock hour. How many finalists do you expect there to be? Typically not more than two or three. We know Matt Eberflus interviews on Monday. He's one of them. We could surmise from this information Jim Caldwell would be a second. Wow. Brian Daboll, based on some information we're getting, had a pretty good experience with the Bears, likes what he saw. Could he be a third, potentially? How many finalists can you have? I know you interviewed 16 GM candidates, but also in the context of the GM conversation, we'll find out today what the Giants are going to do. If they offer the job to somebody who isn't Joe Shane, the Bears still have him in the mix. Would you offer the job to a guy the Giants didn't want? That's an interesting question to answer. Different people have different thoughts, but it's all part of the same conversation.
I will go with Biggsy, who said
Giants have been a clown show for quite a while.
I like that.
I mean, it is kind of true, right? But again, look in the mirror.
Frustrated Bears may be thinking, what makes him think he's going to get it right this time?
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. If you're not shot out of a cannon as a sports fan, if you are not over the moon as a Bears fan, then you didn't watch any playoff football, and my goodness gracious, it was spectacular.
Morning, David. Mully. Yeah, wow. That's all you can say after that weekend. It was all that we could have hoped for, and then some, even overtime. And, you know, it's hard enough for one game, I think, in the playoffs to live up to the hype. But when you have all four live up to the hype, and each game gets increasingly better. Now, I think the Packers loss had a little special asterisk here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. But just from a quality standpoint, a dramatic standpoint, it was as if there was a stair step. Like, okay, that game was great. That game was greater. That game was even better. And then the last game we watched last night between the Bills and the Chiefs might have been the best football game I've ever watched start to finish.
Well, Brian Daboll might be the only guy up for the Bears job that came out clean. Okay, that guy, it wasn't his fault.
Let me think about
but
that.
But everybody else, you could kind of say, yeah, I don't think that guy's
well,
the guy.
Well, you can definitely poke holes in every candidate.
Yes.
Yeah, there was a Leslie Frazier question.
Yes.
There was the Todd Bowles, like,
Todd? Oh, my God.
And
Blitz.
Then Byron Leftwich. Yeah. So, okay, I'll go with that. If you want to apply the local angle. But what drama?
Let me tell you something. We are in Chicago. I'm always going to apply.
Absolutely.
The local angle.
Provincial.
And the local angle is goodbye, bye, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers got canceled. And it wasn't just by the woke mob.
What?
Woohoo!
What a golden moment that was. And
I got so many texts. I got so many emails. I couldn't believe the reaction from the people that I know. My phone was buzzing like crazy because everyone knew I was sitting there watching it. But David, the assault on Aaron Rodgers was downright spectacular, right up to the Arlington Heights kid running over to the former Bear and saying to him, "You are a blanking legend."
Yeah, how about
and
that?
Blank the Packers. Did you see the Wiener Circle? You know, they put they put stuff up. They had blank Aaron Rodgers, blank the Packers, Jimmy Garoppolo, Arlington Heights, something like that.
It was the biggest Bears win of the year.
Oh, my God.
It felt like that.
It did.
Because it was euphoric here in Chicago and all sorts of jokes about Aaron Rodgers at his expense. They could not be funnier. I mean, everybody sort of really thought that Aaron Rodgers had a shot, but we've been there before.
We have a texter checking in, and this went through my head. Les blocked that punt. God bless Les. I thought of Les. I thought, oh, my God, would he have loved this? He'd have loved it. He probably hated it from up above. That was awesome.
I thought of Les at that moment. I thought of J.D., Jeff Dickerson, when Robbie Gould kicked the field goal. They were friends.
Yes.
And what perfect symmetry to have Robbie Gould at Lambeau Field under those conditions come on and kick the field goal that ends the Packers season and maybe – Aaron Rodgers' tenure in Green Bay, because now those are legitimate questions and it's hard to envision. Yeah, look, feelings could change and time has a way of altering, you know, the way that soothing things that seem really volatile right now.
Mm-hmm.
But he could be gone. He could be gone.
And
you know what? It'd be a surprise if he isn't.
I got to tell you something. When I watched him walk off, that look on his face,
it was like,
he's always like, that was it.
And Mully, okay, so when you think about what that does to these playoffs, fine. But when you think about what that potentially does to the Bears' future in the midst of a search for a new GM and a coach, that may be the biggest development of this offseason is that Aaron Rodgers leaves Green Bay.
I don't like Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I used to admire the way he played. Now I just don't like him. But let me tell you something. If you want a villain – let's get away from the NFL for a second. If you're looking for a villain in the world, it's Grayson Allen. Oh my God. I've got to tell you, when that foul happened, it wasn't a foul. When that assault happened, I yelled, "Arrest that man."
It's not funny, but you're right.
I am so peeved about the one game suspension. Are you kidding me?
Well, definitely. I mean, you go from Aaron Rodgers to Grayson Allen, and it's an easy transition because one unlikable, the other one impossible to look at without wanting to punch his face. I mean, this is the biggest thug in the NBA.
Well, he's also the most punchable face in all of sports. I mean, Jay Cutler, everyone said he had it's nothing to this.
It's not nothing. That guy looks so smug. Can I tell you what also bugged me about that? It's bad enough that Alex Caruso's out for 8 weeks. It's bad enough that he gets one game, flimsy suspension we'll talk about later. The Milwaukee Bucks issuing a statement in support of Grayson Allen, this part-time player who's not been there for 5 minutes, and they're going to go out on a limb and defend that guy?
I thought to myself,
after that,
and I know this is apples and oranges, but I did think to myself, I wonder what the reaction would be if Giannis got chopped in half and his career was under threat. How would you feel then? Would you release a statement that, you know, whatever thug had done it? Oh, you know, he's our guy. We support. They'd have been out of their minds. And Alex Caruso is maybe the biggest fan favorite on that team. People love that guy. He leads the league in floor burns. And my God, it wasn't intentional.
It was intentional.
Of course
there's
it
no
was.
There's no way you can convince anybody that a guy with his history, his default mechanism is to
trip.
Go dirty.
That's all he does.
When he gets beat, when he finds himself in a desperation mode, what happens? His instinct takes over, and his instinct is to injure.
Get him out of the league.
He's bad for the league.
Kick his arse out of the league.
One game. Explain to me that.
You know what, David?
Explain to me that.
It's inexplicable. Hashtag justice for Caruso. Okay? We got to get some justice for Caruso. Maybe it happens on March 4th. That's the next time they play the Bucks.
Yeah, that's vengeance. That's not justice.
Okay, vengeance okay. for Caruso.
I'm not going to argue against that because I still feel like I had the same reaction. I think everybody did watching that.
Oh, my God.
If it did not offend your sports sensibilities, then what's wrong with you? Then you are blind to the Bucks. But I think that, what happens on March 4th will be fascinating to talk about up until that happens. Maybe by then. No, I don't think by then anything will be changed.
I think Billy Donovan's a class guy.
Yeah.
But if Tony La Russa was the coach of the Chicago Bulls.
Tony La Russa's still talking about wanting to bean somebody from the Astros.
But his own guy.
exactly. Look, Billy Donovan, again, reinforced why he is such a class act. He said all the right things. He left the rest to be said by other people. But he was bothered by this, and you could tell. Who couldn't we?
I'm not joking. There was like bloodlust in my heart. I watched that play, and I swear to God, I wanted to rush the court through my TV. If I had that capability, I let out. I'm not even joking. I was so – my wife came downstairs because John and I were watching the game, and she's like, what is going on? And I was like, they got to arrest him. I mean, I was so – oh, my God, was upset. And then Caruso gets up and finishes the game.
He finished the game with a broken wrist.
With a broken wrist.
And a lot of people kind of push back at that. Why were the Bulls putting him in the game in that situation? We can second guess that, but he's gutsy. He wanted to play, and he had just come back. That's the other thing. He had missed a month. He comes back. He's the guy that most establishes their defensive identity, and now he's going to be out for 8 weeks.
They were 24th in defense in the 13 games that he missed. And now he's going to miss effectively 2 months. And this idiot gets a one-game suspension?
One game.
How is that justice?
That's not.
But, you know, he should, and the league should do this. If a guy fouls a guy like that, and he should be out for as long as that guy is. If it's a career-ending injury, he should never play again.
I agree with that premise. I think what makes that difficult to enforce is they claim that it was not intentional. And I think anybody watching that, if you're not from Milwaukee, understands how ridiculous that sounds. But it was intentional, and he should be out for 6 to 8 weeks, or at least 6 to 8 games would even be a better start. One game, that's a rest. That's load management. That's not a suspension.
I'm just – that infuriated me because that was the dirtiest – that guy's a dirty scumbag, period, end of story. And then he like is standing there with this smirk on his face, and he gets
dirty scumbag, entitled punk, however you want to phrase it.
Oh my
God, that guy.
Is there anyone? And we know some punchable dookies around here, but is there anyone worse than that guy? Never seen it.
Never seen it.
Yeah, never seen the like of it. But you're right. You know, the football was spectacular, absolutely spectacular. We're going to get into it. We got to talk about the Bears stuff because now they lost a candidate, right? Joe Shane.
Bills hired him, the Giants hired the Bills assistant GM.
Yes.
Good move for the Bills. You thought he was a bright up-and-comer, but that means there's only 15 names left on that list.
Yeah, but they're starting to shrink it down. Don't we have a second interview?
Ryan Poles from the Chiefs.
There you go.
He's going to be coming in hot because of what happened last night at Arrowhead Stadium. And the Bears search, is going to add another name, Dennis Allen, head coaching candidate. Mm-hmm. I think he interviews this week. So there's a lot going on with that and how everything that happened this weekend may or may not have affected their search.
And, Dick Butkus isn't the only guy that is taken to Twitter. Butkus was just laying it on Aaron Rodgers. If you don't follow him, go do it. It was hysterical. And my orange juice did taste sweeter.
That was a good tweet.
That was his tweet.
That was funny.
But also, Jim Caldwell came out and said that he did not turn down opportunities to interview with a couple of different teams. I think Minnesota and
the Raiders.
The Raiders.
Yeah, that was an interesting reaction that he wanted to push back at that premise that he was not a guy who would turn those down. We went with that pretty hard when we found that out because we were reading into what that might have meant for the Bears search. Maybe he knew something we didn't. Maybe he still does. But that reaction when he went to the Twitter machine was, that got some attention.
And David, who knows? We'll find out what happens, but maybe Sean Payton is heading to, Dallas?
Is that a possibility?
Yeah, it's still a possibility. Okay. Also, maybe he's heading to Dallas to talk to Troy Aikman about what it would be like to replace him in the booth.
Yeah, maybe he's going to do a little bit of television for a year or two.
You know what I thought was funny about that is that, okay, if Fox interviews Sean Payton to replace Aikman, if Aikman indeed leaves for Amazon, what if Sean Payton doesn't want the job? Do they go to Kevin James?
Beautiful. All right. We got the 5 at 5. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
How do you explain both number one seeds getting knocked out of the NFL playoffs on the same day? Isn't the lone team in each conference supposed to benefit from a bye? When the best team has the healthiest roster and plays at home, shouldn't that be a massive advantage? What went wrong?
Well, I think it's two different stories and two different situations, right? I think that in the AFC game, I think Mike Vrabel, I did not for the life of me understand why you didn't just kick the extra point. What are you doing going for two there? That made no sense to me. I get it, it's early in the game, but think about it. If you kick that field goal, by the time you get to late in the game, you're just killing the clock. You're not doing anything. The other element of it, Derrick Henry, it's great to have him back. And I heard them say, apparently Tannehill told them in the interview that all he did was go in the weight room, and he was actually bigger than before the injury. He was so cut, and he was working out the whole time. Last I checked, as a running back, you need your legs, and you need leverage. And he was awful in short yardage. They went to him a couple times, and he couldn't do anything. So I think that they would have been better off, maybe, if they had used him differently. And that was a problem. Three turnovers. To throw that pick at the end of the game, they didn't have the better quarterback, right? That was a problem. That is their problem. you know, the guy's played well there, but he's not good enough, period, end of story. And that was their problem. As far as Green Bay is concerned, I really thought after they marched down the field and scored to open the game, I thought they'd be able to do that all the time. I really thought their offense was going to be better. We've talked about this, how absolute garbage their special teams are. So it didn't surprise me that they gave away 10 points on special teams. The thing that surprised me is the offense didn't work. And I'm going to blame Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to say this to you. When the tight end fumbled the ball, I'm not sure he ever went back to him. When what's his name? The Valdez, when he dropped the pass, I'm not sure he went back to him. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has these little grudges as a quarterback that you can't afford to have in that situation. And guess what? That's a choke. That's a choke if you're the MVP of the league and you don't win a home playoff game and you're now 4-0-4 against one opponent. That's the worst any quarterback has ever done against any opponent. And it's the Green Bay Packers and Jimmy G's got your number? Are you kidding me?
You might say the 49ers own Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Say it all. Let's hear them all.
You know, those two games specifically on Saturday when you had the number one seeds with the bye week, I think it almost showed I don't want to say rust, but it certainly – they didn't take advantage of it. Let's put it that way. The Henry thing was a little bit curious, and I think the Packers, they stopped. They took an early lead, and then for whatever reason, the 49ers adjusted or adapted, and the Packers seemed like they were more affected – maybe by the elements. Special teams mistakes are going to catch up with you at some point in time in the postseason. And I think that was obviously when you have a blocked field goal and a blocked punt that leads to a touchdown, that underscores the importance of special teams and also your kicking game. The first three games of the four games coming down to a kicker winning it on the last play tells you the importance of special teams. So that's something to take away from that. Also, this is the outstanding quarterback play. You look at the Bengals in the Titans game. Joe Burrow's terrific already. Oh. And obviously, we'll get to Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and the history that they made together. And certainly Brady and Rodgers are out, and now they'll steal a lot of the headlines because of the uncertainties about their future. But that will overshadow Joe Burrow, who's arrived already. In year two, he is a guy that gives the Bengals a chance each and every week, and to me, is the biggest reason why they are still alive and why they beat the Titans.
9 times he was sacked.
And you know what? It did affect him. It's silly to say it didn't affect him, but he overcame that.
That's the most ever by a guy.
How do you do that?
I have no idea.
Because you think a young quarterback, after being sacked the 6th or 7th time, and we have seen 9 sacks in a game here in Chicago too many times, but it didn't seem to rattle him.
It's incredible.
And Chase is still such a difference maker, and they know how to use him and get him open, and he creates separation. So
those guys are so young, they don't realize the moment they're in. You know what I mean?
Yes.
To them, they're just doing their thing. They're totally unfazed.
And the last point I make about the Packers and what happened on Saturday was, you know, they went in theoretically healthier than they had been in weeks. But without David Bakhtiari at left tackle, I think that was a big factor. Nick Bosa controlled that football game. And the pass rush of the 49ers was a big reason why Aaron Rodgers did not, you know, he was not the guy that we're used to seeing. Now, he was still great at times. But, for instance, to your point, when he tried to force the ball down the field to Davante Adams on that long pass, he missed a wide-open guy on a deep crosser.
He's only throwing to Davante Adams.
So he had one-track tunnel vision, and it came back. And, oh boy, what a shame that it hurt him.
Yeah, what a shame. I think both teams were fat and happy going into it. I thought the Titans, Mully, to your point about Henry, I thought it was like, let's just give him the ball. He'll control the day. We won't have to show much. These are the Bengals. They probably are too early. They're a year ahead of schedule, perhaps. We're going to win this thing. We're focused in on beating the winner of the Chiefs and Bills game. That's what they were focused on. And I felt the same thing with the Packers. They Jimmy G's got a thumb. Their injury is all over the place for the 49ers. They've got Packer weather. Jimmy G's never won a game under 40 degrees. All that stuff. And they walked down the field and scored. And I thought, ooh, wow, this is going to be too easy. I don't know if I've got 3.5 hours. Right. I mean, I'm watching that. You know,
right.
People had said bet the over, even though it's freezing. People said bet. And I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be like Green Bay is going to just put their flag in the ground. And then also, I thought they might be motivated by the fact that the Titans had lost. Like, don't fall into that trap of, like, we're supposed to be here. They're not supposed to. And the way they came down, the first series of the game, I thought, damn, they're,
I know.
This is going to stink. And you guys read that text? I thought the same thing on that blocked punt. I thought, you know, we had that when Walter Payton passed away, and there was the blocked punt, and the Bears won a big game up at Lambeau. I thought the same thing. And I thought about going to Twitter, and I didn't do it, but it was like, wow, was that for less? Like,
the grobber's
microphone was in the hand and just tipped the ball. It was unbelievable.
Yeah,
it was and just unbelievable. The fact that they scored the 49ers lone touchdown is on the blocked punt. It's
incredible.
Incredible.
Yeah, agree.
What kind of question is that?
Was that Tom Brady's last game in the NFL? Would that be a bigger deal than Aaron Rodgers' last game in the NFC North? Was Saturday Rodgers' last game in the NFL North? Who will be missed more in terms of replacements and franchise reaction to that?
I think it's natural to tie in their two futures because of the uncertainty and because of who they are in terms of the NFL history and best quarterbacks ever. But I'll say this. I really don't care what Tom Brady does. I'm not really caught up in that this year because I feel like if he walks away, great. He's unbelievable legacy, and that is intact. And regardless, he got a Super Bowl with a second team, and now it's over. And so if he comes back, he'll be compromised. I think a little bit older, a little bit different quarterback. You'll be watching that. If he doesn't, I'm not really caught up in that. The Aaron Rodgers future, I think we could talk about in May every day from now until it's resolved, and it'd still be compelling to me because where's he going to go, number one? He could go to the Broncos. Wow. Okay, what does that do to that roster? Steelers, Saints. What if he replaces Brady in Tampa Bay? Is it inconceivable? No. I don't know about the trade ramifications, but at this point in time, anything that he does fascinates me because it affects, I think, the balance of power in the NFL and certainly most provincially here in Chicago in the NFC North. The minute Aaron Rodgers leaves Green Bay is the minute Bears fans get excited about their future because then everything is up for grabs. We have seen the Packers with Jordan Love, and there's not a lot to love if you're a Packers fan, but there's a lot to get excited about if you're a Bears fan. So those two guys, Brady, congratulations. I respect the heck out of everything you've done. I really don't care what happens next. Aaron Rodgers, yeah, let's talk about it. Let's dig in because that has ramifications at Halas Hall.
Yeah, Tom is going to leave at some point, and it's not going to change anything in terms of the way we look at Tom. I think the thing that he's got to consider, can they keep this team together? You know, they are up against it. I'm not sure it's going to be the same team. So, I mean, when I was looking at Aaron Rodgers walk off, I thought to myself, you put that guy on Tennessee, and all of a sudden, that's like the best team in football. I mean, you put him on anyone, and they're going to be awful good. But the number one seed in the other conference, you know, in a nice place to play, where Aaron Rodgers, I'm sure he wants to go west.
But which quarterback didn't belong this weekend?
Well, that's the thing. The guy that threw the three picks. And the coach forced the last one because he didn't kick an extra point. We'll get into that later. I got to tell you, I think that wherever he goes, Aaron Rodgers, and I think he's going, and maybe that's just wishful thinking, but I think he's gone from Green Bay. I think he made a deal. You know, who knows? Maybe would he go to Vegas? Would they get rid of Derek Carr and trade them?
There's only like three guys who they wouldn't, whose team wouldn't replace him with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Kansas City is one. But Buffalo's another. Yeah, that's okay. But other than that, Aaron Rodgers could go to a lot of places and create a powerhouse. And he's got to, because guess what? He's got to win another Super Bowl. And he's got to stay away from San Francisco, apparently. So he should go to the AFC.
Well, it is kind of ironic that the 49ers didn't take him overall number one. And he made that comment. If you watch any of the pregame on Saturday, you know, they show that couple of minutes of his life sitting through the draft and his comment about, you know, the 49ers are going to be disappointed that they didn't take me. Really? Are they? I mean, Jimmy G, you know, I mean, I'm not here to, you know, blow any hot smoke up Jimmy G's backside, but, you know, he's basically won as many playoff games as Aaron Rodgers, and especially in more recent time, in spite of Jimmy G.
Rex, right? Grossman has been to as many AFC championship, has won as many NFC championship games as Aaron Rodgers.
I love that. Sexy Rex.
That's a great one. Rex is our quarterback, no doubt about it.
Is that awesome?
Yeah.
So I do care, though, about Tom Brady, because I'll tell you what, like, I was texting with a buddy yesterday that's from the Boston area, moved here 20 years ago now. But, like, Tom Brady's been really important to the NFL and really, like, a big part of all of our lives over the last.
He's 44.
I understand. But, I mean, if it would have ended, like, it got better, obviously. And, like, I was disappointed they lost, and we can get into it later. Like, almost, like, if that's not fourth and one, if that was first and goal instead of fourth and one, I think they win that game because I think the time management's different with the clock. Anyway. Point is that I hope that wasn't the last. I'm not ready for that to be the end of Tom Brady. There was such a crazy, wild weekend that I don't think I got to enjoy it enough. It was like immediate. When that game was over, it was because of the timing, too. Like, that game went longer, and all of a sudden, it was like, get over to CBS. You know, get off of NBC, get over to CBS, because you didn't want to miss a second of Bills Chiefs.
I understand what you're saying about Brady, but flip side. Wouldn't you like to see him go out playing as well as he is rather than see him in decline?
But he didn't play that well yesterday, David.
Like, his whole season, though.
Yeah, his season
he was an MVP
good, but yesterday was bad. He didn't wake up until the end of the game. He was too busy. You know, we talked about what Green Bay was doing, you know, forcing the ball to Adams. He was forcing the ball. He was not taking the easy stuff, Brady. He was forcing it to the guys that he felt like he could trust. Anyway, it's a much bigger story for us, and it means a lot more if Aaron Rodgers has indeed played his last game with Green Bay and gets the heck out of hopefully the NFC North and the NFC altogether.
That was one of the best questions you've ever asked.
Did the Bears blow it by letting general manager candidate Joe Shane get hired by the New York Giants? Shane got the nod over San Francisco assistant GM Adam Peters and Kansas City Executive Director of Player Personnel Ryan Poles. Will you be monitoring Shane and the Giants moving forward? If and when will you know if the Bears blew it?
That's fun. I think I will know that if Shane goes out and hires the Buffalo offensive coordinator. If Brian Daboll ends up as the coach in New York, then I think the Bears may have blown it. You know, he, by all accounts, is interested in the Bears, and we'll see how quickly the Giants move now compared to what the Bears are doing, which I think, don't they have like four or five more interviews set up with somebody somewhere?
The Giants or the Bears?
The Bears.
Yeah, they have at least that many.
Exactly. And I'm not even talking about the second interviews. I mean, they're still going to be interviewing
guys.
Still
have to introduce themselves
exactly,
to certain people. Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think that it'll come down to that for me. But, yeah, obviously it's going to take a few years to figure out how one team looks and the other team looks and whether, you know, listen, it would have been a great story if they had signed, if he had been their general manager. And Brian Daboll as a package would have been awesome, and I think, you know, everybody would be excited. But it's okay. I mean, you got to see who they end up hiring, and you got to see how the connection works and all that.
Well, you know, I love the Joe Shane story because of all that it represented, the great narrative, but I'm not going to declare the Bears search a disaster because they didn't sign a guy or hire a guy that I felt like could have, you know, provided a real good storyline. He's a bright young executive. The Giants took advantage of that, and maybe he will hire Brian Daboll. But I will, you know, patience and perspective are hard to come by when we're judging coaching searches in real time and GM searches in real time. But I do think it's wise. I'm not going to go on a rant about how the Bears, you know, search is a disaster because they're asking the wrong questions, which may be true. And then you'll talk to somebody else who says, you know what, this is a really thorough process, and they like the way that it's going, or they have heard things that are positive about it. You're going to hear different opinions on both sides of it. Until they get somebody in place, I don't think that it's fair to judge. So we can talk about it as it goes on. I think Joe Shane's going to be a success in New York. I think he probably would have been a success in Chicago, but that doesn't mean the Bears can't find somebody who can be successful. The Daboll thing is going to be interesting, Molly, because I think the Bills, are obviously both their coordinators are available now to go take a job elsewhere. Leslie Frazier as well. Dable has a different sort of cachet. He scored his offense's 12 touchdowns and 17 drives this postseason, which is a record. But where do the Giants go? Brian Flores is available. He's got New York ties. So same with Dan Quinn, who's interviewing today. He's got Jersey ties. So maybe they take one of those guys, and Dable's still available. If he is, maybe the Bears have to overcome this obsession with symmetry, because I think right now Brian Dable is as hot of a head coaching candidate as is out there because of what Josh Allen and that offense accomplished.
Does your youth hockey team want to play in front of thousands over at the Allstate Arena? We'll make it happen with the Chicago Wolves Youth Hockey Program presented to you by Kia. Visit ChicagoWolves.com/youth hockey to learn more. We are Chicago. We are hockey. We are the Wolves. Yes, absolutely. This is going to be a disaster if Ryan Dable by Tuesday or Wednesday is introduced as the next head coach of the New York Giants. Because my biggest takeaway from the weekend was, there's so many, but is specifically for the Bears fans and what we do, it's the fact that all of the candidates that were still in the postseason that we're playing right now, that the Bears are talking to, had massive errors, huge mistakes. Yeah. Really hard to pitch me why you would bring them in, except for Ryan Dable.
Yeah.
Other than that, each and every guy. Now, again, there's the Doug Petersons of the world. There's the Flores. They weren't there. But I'm talking about what we saw on Saturday and Sunday with connection to the Bears. Massive, huge issues. Another question, and I know there's a lot of Matt Nagy stink, unfortunately, on Eric Bieniemy. But does this second interview with their guy from the Chiefs, could that potentially open the door for Eric Bieniemy if symmetry and collaboration is as big as we think it is with the Bears? Could Bieniemy all of a sudden become a candidate?
I respect Eric Bieniemy, but I think that going to the Andy Reid offensive coordinator, not sure how many plays he actually calls, route.
I agree.
Hasn't gone well before, so I doubt they do it again.
I like the idea. I'm just saying, like, does this guy with the Chiefs now getting a second bite at the apple for the head job as GM, would he then, if he is actually given the opportunity, unless it's all Polian, if he's then given the Polian brought you to him, and now Polian says, hey, listen, I'm going to sit in the room, we're going to whiteboard it up, and yes and no, and checkmark this and not checkmark that. But at the end, you, now Bears GM, gets to make the call on the head coach. Could be enemy coming. That's all I'm saying.
I don't feel that.
I don't like the idea.
I don't like it either. And I have respect for Ryan Poles, too, because I think he's in the mix, got a good reputation. But are you going to hire a 36-year-old who's never run an organization before?
Hope not.
They did that in 2015.
Oh, my God.
His name was Ryan as well.
You know, we haven't talked about – one of the things that went through my head is Robbie Gould's never missed a kick of any kind in the playoffs. Did you see that? He's perfect.
He's perfect in the postseason.
Perfect with every field goal at every extra point. And I thought to myself, it's not a worthy conversation because they already fired the guy. They got rid of Ryan Pace. There's your double doink issue, pal.
That would have been the dagger for Ryan Pace if he was still here. It was like, how could you cut that guy?
Oh, my God. We would be screaming about it this morning.
And you know what? Robbie Gould has done that before in the playoffs and in overtime to win a game. And that was the last Bears playoff victory, wasn't it?
Against the Seagulls.
How about that?
I'm playing to feed my family.
I'm sorry. I have a question for you.
Long rebound picked up off the floor near the ankles by Thomas. And it eludes him. But Io there to Caruso. Ooh, and Caruso is sent to the floor by Grayson Allen. In suspended air, Grayson Allen fouls Caruso, and we are way above here in the lower bowl of Milwaukee. And folks, let me tell you, we heard Caruso crashing to the floor, and he is down underneath the rim where the Bulls shoot. A very dangerous play on the part of Grayson Allen.
You heard that very dangerous play right here on the score. How disappointed are you with the NBA? Content to give dirty scumbag Grayson Allen just a one-game suspension for his dangerous, career-threatening foul of Alex Caruso. Do you consider that an slap of the wrist? How pathetic was Allen's well-after-the-fact explanation? Will we have to wait until March 4th for any kind of justice? Has the association invited this kind of reprisal?
Yeah,
Well, that's what it's going to come down to. I'd be curious to see how this is handled. Billy Donovan says he's not a big believer in these kinds of things, but he's also only has so much control over them. This was pathetic, both the act and the response. The league responded with a one-game suspension. That is no deterrent. This was a cheap shot by a dirty player with a history for harming opponents. There's no doubt about it. Grayson Allen is about what's the worst thing in the NBA. He is a bad guy with an ugly smirk and a punchable face. And the fact that he gets one game for knocking out the Bulls' best defensive player for 8 weeks, it's incomprehensible and inexcusable and all of those things that you're thinking. And it's infuriating because you should be mad if you're a Bulls fan. You should be angry as Chuck Swirsky sounded there and as everybody felt watching it unfold, because Grayson Allen did it again. He has a past going back to Duke. We all have seen the examples. And, yeah, the NBA, by going one game, invites a kind of reprisal you're talking about, Mully. And I think that the only thing, I don't say it was worse, but it just added insult to injury. The Bucks issuing a statement accepting it, and that for a few short hours on their Twitter feed, putting out a video that was already of Grayson Allen welcoming people with some sort of season ticket ad or whatever it was. Bad taste, bad timing, bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's villain number one for anybody that likes the Chicago Bulls, period, end of story. He's like a dirty, rotten, no good player. I mean, the answer's in the question. Are you disappointed that they are content to give dirty scumbag Grayson Allen? Yeah, I think I'm very disappointed, and I think that that you can see that. Hashtag justice for Caruso. And I think we're going to change it on March 4th to hashtag vengeance for Caruso. And that's what they've invited here. Somebody has got to teach that guy a lesson before he takes out Trae Young. Have you seen him and Trae Young go at it? This guy is one of the all-time jerks, tripping people, grabbing at people. That guy, that foul, and he claimed he put out a thing where he was like, oh, I was fouling. You know, I didn't try to foul him. I came back with my right to get the ball. You came back with the right and slapped him across the head. It was the most vicious. He hit him. The guy is in the air going to the bucket, and he knocks him down with his left hand and then adds the right as he spins around. What a complete jerk. What a tool. Get him out of the association before someone gets killed.
Do we know if he's related to Lambeer?
Oh, my God. I mean, really, I would love to see this guy go coach some women's basketball. Now! Get him out of the association.
Now, I'm really disappointed in what happened, and I believe in the idea that Allen should be out because it was a flagrant. Allen should be out, or somebody from the Bucks roster, you know, unless they were going to cut him, whoever they bring in to replace him, add him. They're going to play short. Like, they're going to play short a guy for being stupid and allowing that kind of stupidity to go on. But this is going to be very unpopular. Are we reacting a little bit differently to this because it's Grayson Allen? And is that why, like,
no.
Was the league able to put blinders on and say, like, it?
Oh, that's just the way
it was. Anybody, like, no.
He's
like,
just
if
a
it
dirty
anybody,
scumbag thug.
If it was anybody else, like, I'm saying, like, if it wasn't Grayson Allen, if it had been Middleton, if it had been Giannis, you know, who, you know, listen, I made a mistake. You know, I didn't mean to do it, but because Grayson Allen is known to mean to do it. Like, is that why the reaction
is so... Yeah, of course,
yes.
Because his history
suggests... That's how he plays.
He's lying through his teeth.
I mean,
yeah,
I didn't even realize, honestly,
that's not an error. That's on purpose.
Yes, I agree. Honestly, I didn't even realize he was still in the league until that moment happened. Like, I didn't know he was...
Stealing
here.
Money.
I didn't realize
how much money does he make?
Too much.
Let's just take that and spread it amongst
Probably
our
less
friends.
Than he was making at Duke.
Yeah, exactly. Cheating son of a dog.
No, I'm going to finish the question. The question is this.
With Alex Caruso joining Lonzo Ball on the injured list for the next 6 to 8 weeks and Zach LaVine's uncertainty with his iffy knee, how drastically different are your Bulls' expectations than they were at the beginning of the month, especially after last night's loss to the Magic? Do you envision your optimism returning?
Yeah, I think the Bulls are in trouble, man. I mean, they're shorthanded, and Alex Caruso brought a ton of energy and a ton of defense, and he helped them play better. And I think they'd have beaten Orlando if he had been able to play in that game, quite frankly. So it hurts. It is damaging to the way that they want to play. And, you know, I mean, listen, they're not – we'll talk to Will Perdue in a little bit. Their defense is not doing enough, and their bench is not doing enough, but their bench is starting. You know, the half the guy – I mean, they're so down players, and now the idea that Caruso and Lonzo Ball are going to come back and the Bulls are going to be like seventh or eighth seed, and then they're going to go on a tear at the end of the season when they get their team together. I'm not sure Caruso's coming back, frankly. A wrist injury is really hard. I think Lonzo Ball has had a knee before. I think he will come back. But it's beyond damaging. It's an absolute mess. It's really going to be hard.
Caruso gives your defense identity. Lonzo Ball gives your offense structure. And they're going to miss both those next 8 weeks. They've lost 7 out of 10. They're trending in the wrong direction. And I think they're beset by these injuries that they just can't overcome. And last night I taped the first half of the Magic game because of where I was watching football. And boy, was that a mistake to watch that, because that was as abysmal of a performance as I've seen for the Bulls in a long time. It was bad.
Awful.
It was bad, Mully. And against the Magic, you've got to play better than that. So I'm not sure. I think the question this week is, are the Bulls still good? Are they going to be still good? Because they need to tread water, and I'm not sure, because it feels like they're sinking.
Well, I'm really disappointed in Vooch right now.
Yeah.
He's got to step up. He's at his old place. They're the worst team in the East, and he has just an awful night when you needed him the most. And Billy's got to be careful. Like, during this stretch, this next 6 to 8 weeks, you cannot run DeRozan into the ground. You can't have him scoring 35, 40 points and the Bulls losing by 5 every night. That doesn't serve them any good. So Vooch has got to step his game up, and Billy's got to be careful with the minutes limit. And listen, Zach's going to be back, so that's going to be a big factor. You know, I hope, you know, Zach's supposedly meeting the team in OKC, and hopefully he plays tonight, and tomorrow morning, hopefully we're talking about a nice victory thanks to Zach and DeRozan together.
Hope so.
312-644-6767. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.